No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? How is everybody doing today? I am here with the man, Ant from 49ers Cutback, with the bye week playoff scenario edition. Ant, how we doing, man?
Doing great. Yeah, and the playoffs are setting up pretty nice for the 49ers right now. And so it's a good time to be in a bye week. There's a lot of positive vibes coming off what they've done over the last few weeks. And they're kind of setting themselves up for a stretch run that's going to be a lot of excitement. And, John, this is why you watch sports, for these moments, to compete in the biggest games at the biggest moments and try to have something happen. And I know a lot of fans are excited about it, and I know I am too, because without Fred Warner, without Nick Bosa, missing Brock Purdy for most of the year, and you had Kittle out for a long time, it seems like injuries all over the place, but the 49ers are still here, and they're 9-4, and the number one seed in the playoffs is 9-3. It's like craziness, and I love it. That's why I'm excited about where the 49ers are.
Oh, I freaking love it. Thank you for all the hashtag CCs, TCCs, and those things out there. Now, I got to get that. We're going to be talking some Eric Kendricks. We've got some, man, what do the 49ers look like if Kyle Juszczyk doesn't come back? Playoff scenarios, worst to first, talking all kinds of different things. But I got to give a shout out to my man Cam's dad. He's been harping on this one. He wanted playoff scenarios. So, shout out to Cam's dad. Appreciate you, man. You are the freaking man. And as Cam kind of echoes here, the 49ers control kind of everything. And so, you know, I pulled up, I was doing some research in light of Ant sent me some questions. I was like, ooh, I want to know. So I looked up and I found this, dude, the 49ers are currently favored for all four games left on their schedule. They're 12.5-point favorites against the Titans. They're 3-point favorites on the road currently to the Colts, 2.5-point favorites to the Bears, and 2.5-point favorites to the Seattle Seahawks. I was a little shocked. Like, I know you get like the 3-point swing when you're the home away. So, like, you could argue, oh, they're not technically favored if it's 2.5 points at home, but they are still betting favorites to win the game. So, the very first question I want to get to before we even get to playoff scenarios, Ant. How likely is it, or is it even likely, that the 49ers could even run the freaking table? Like, is that insane to even bring up right now?
I don't think it is insane. You know, I mean, I think when we were looking at the stretch run before, we were talking about these four games, you know, leading into the Tennessee Titans. That was going to be the four-game stretch. If they could get to 10 wins, hey, they can make the playoffs. But that's no longer what we're all looking at. We're looking at, can they win these last four games and put themselves in a position where they could easily be the number one seed? I think when you look at the Tennessee Titans game, there's a reason the 49ers are favored by 12.5. That is the worst team in football. The 49ers are coming off a bye week. There's a lot of optimism they're going to be able to win that. I think you look at the Indianapolis Colts, and they're not spiraling, but they're definitely struggling a little bit. And I think that there's an opportunity there with Daniel Jones dealing with the leg injury. He's just not moving as well. He's not playing as well as he was earlier. No more Indiana Jones for them. So he's kind of struggling there. And then you look at the Bears, and what Bears team are you going to get? A team scratching, crawling, fighting to make the playoffs. They've been up and down. They've been playing close games all year. And so that one, I don't think is like out of the question. The Niners could win. And then with Seattle, you've already beat Seattle once. And I get it. Seattle's been playing really well, but this is going to be potentially a week 18 playoff setup matchup. And we know the 49ers usually play well in those games, and Sam Darnold does not. So what happens there? I think they have a really good shot to win them. I'm not going to guarantee they're going to sweep or anything like that, but I think you look at these games, you're like, yeah, I could see it. And I understand why Vegas is looking at the 49ers as favorites over that four-game stretch.
Yeah, and man, Cam's dad, appreciate the super chat, man. He says, watch Niner fans show out these last 4 weeks. There's what they – I remember last year, it was like one of the times where I was just like proud. I was proud to be a part of it. I'm wearing my faithful hat right today. We go to Arizona, and Niners were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Like, it did no good. We already spent the money on revenue to, like, you know, book these restaurants and tailgates. I was like, dude, nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to come. Wrong. We had 300 plus people show up to party, to celebrate the Niners, even though they go there every year, even though like this fan base is just an absolute freaking trip. And so, yeah, they're going to show up. There's no doubt about that. Now, I went and found this, and I think this is pretty cool. This is just like a prediction chart over the history. Now, how long we've been at 17 games, making it to the playoffs. And so it's just, it's very simple, just predictive, how likely what the percentages it are to make the playoffs. The 49ers are currently 9-4. 9-4 team making the playoffs at a 17-game season with seven teams in there. 96% likely at their current state. Now, if you win next week, bye week this week, win next week, 10-4, 99% chance. I've been screaming from the mountaintops, Ant. You get to 10 wins with all these tiebreakers that the Niners hold, they are in. So talk to me. Let's say the Niners only beat the Titans and lose the last three games. They finish 10-7. Niners still in the playoffs or no?
Yeah, I think they are, because only two of those games are conference games, right? So their conference record would still be good enough to beat a lot of the tiebreakers from some of the teams that are chasing them. The Detroit Lions have lost a lot of games that are, you know, in the conference. So have the Dallas Cowboys. So you've got a situation where you're going to still win those tiebreakers. Teams don't have to get to 10 wins. They got to get to 11 to pass the 49ers. So that's something to remember. So they win that Colts game. They lose the other two. They're in anyways with 11. But let's say that they get swept those final three games because only two are conference. I think the 49ers still win the tiebreakers and they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they have the most conference wins in the entire NFL currently. They have the most division wins. They're tied there, but with nobody in their own division. So that's not even, you know, part of that. So I'm sticking to kind of my claim that the Niners get one more win. You just had to get to 10 with the tiebreakers and everything in place. They're in the playoffs. So there's this, I mean, we just went from a question of winning out to 10-7. And so you have this ceiling and floor where it's like, man, you just got to get one. Even if you lose to the Titans, but you win another game. It's funny, this Titans game is probably the least important. The Titans and the Colts game, least important. The two conference games for sure. Again, just strengthening those tiebreakers, which is such a big deal. And if you're the Lions, right? And yeah, I saw that we got, you know, a comment tonight for the Lions game. And I want to talk about that and just kind of where you see what that looks like. But the whole idea is this. These two teams are playing tonight. And shoot, who do you want to win? Because the Lions are directly behind the 49ers, but we own all those tiebreakers. So technically, it's a 1.5 game back. Then you've got the Cowboys, who are a game and a half back, but they have that tie. What's best for the 49ers, in your opinion? Who wins tonight, the Lions or the Cowboys?
Well, I don't think the Cowboys are a legitimate wild card team. I think they're more in it for the division. I think they're trying to catch Philadelphia. That's the easiest path, because actually Philadelphia is closer to reach than the 49ers are, because the 49ers are 9-4. Philly's at 8-4 right now because of the bye. And so I think that, you know, Dallas winning that game would put Detroit further out and kind of cement those top seven teams as potentially getting in. I think it would just further the 49ers' chances. So I never root for the Cowboys, and I never root for the Lions. Usually I'm kind of like Christian McCaffrey, especially when the Cowboys are playing. I hope both teams lose. But in this case, yeah, a tie, something like that would be phenomenal for the 49ers, I think, when it comes to percentage. But really, I don't think it matters. I think both those teams, you want them to suffer losses over the next couple of weeks and kind of just stay out of the playoff mix. Let's roll with the seven teams that are in there, because I don't really want to see Detroit. I'd rather play Dallas if I was the 49ers in the playoffs. You got ownage on them. They're so inconsistent. But with Detroit, you just never know. With all the speed and all the athleticism, I'd rather them kind of stay out of the mix and not get into the playoffs, because they're a little bit more dangerous than Dallas. So I can't root for Dallas. That's just an impossibility for me. I won't allow it to happen. So I'm going to go ahead and say I hope they tie or both teams lose, and I know they can't both lose.
I love it. Shade says, John, remember, you're not rooting for the Cowboys. You're rooting against Detroit.
There you go.
Now, if there was a pathway to where the Cowboys win the NFC East and then the 49ers play there in the wild card round, oh, my gosh. Like, that is a dream come true. I would be willing to, man, I can't root for them. Can't do that. Again, it starts to peek into the brain, and you're just like, you know what? This might work out. I'm okay. And then as soon as I see that, you know, one-star Yelp review on side of their helmet, I just can't do it. And so I can't root for them. But, man, I would sign up for a 49ers visiting the Cowboys wild card weekend in Dallas. Man, that might be the best possible matchup the 49ers could possibly have. Bobo says, I want the Cowboys to win because I can't stand Don Burr. That is awesome. Cam's dad, thanks for super chat, said, go Lions. They are up for L.A. You know, they play the Rams here next week, so they get a little bit of extra rest, which is nice. Maybe get on a little bit of a run there, go in there, beat the Rams. We want the Rams to lose above everybody else. But, yeah, I'm with you, Q. Never the Cowboys. I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. Can't do it. But no matter what, one of those teams are going to lose. And so that's kind of where it is. Look at this. I like this. Q says, Dan Campbell goes for it too many fourth and ones to get a tie. That is very true. That dude cost his team so many games. I love Dan Campbell. It's just, man, I hate watching him just lose games because he refuses to kick field goals. Sometimes you got to take the points, man. Sometimes you got to take the points.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So, download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Okay, so let's talk about the 49ers currently in the seventh seed. Now, another one of the games this week is Green Bay versus the Chicago Bears. And it doesn't matter the outcome at all. Whether the Packers win, whether the Bears win, whether they tie, the 49ers, having no game this week, are going to be catapulted to that sixth seed no matter what. Talk to me about that, Ant, kind of who you want out of that Green Bay and Chicago game.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because if you want the 49ers to get the number one seed, they have a game against the Chicago Bears. So Chicago Bears beating Green Bay doesn't hurt the 49ers. They can kind of catch the Chicago when they play head-to-head and get another tiebreaker on them head-to-head, another conference win. So that's how I always look at it. And I look at that game and say, okay, they can get the 10 wins as long as when the 49ers play them on, you know, that Sunday night game, they take care of business. So I'm kind of, you know, I mean, once again, it doesn't really matter who wins, but I'm kind of looking at the Bears and saying, hey, if you guys could win, say it's the number one seed, when the 49ers get there, maybe they'll catch you and pass you because we need the NFC North to also beat the Rams next week, right? We need the Lions to beat the Rams to kind of put the 49ers in a position for that game to really matter when it comes to possibly getting a divisional championship and getting a top four seed. It's within grasp. They are closer to the number one seed in the playoffs than they are being out of the playoffs, which is an insane thought process right now. But yeah, I would probably go with the Bears, and then you play the Bears. If we played the Packers, I'd probably go with the Packers, but I'm going to go with the Bears.
Again, that statement you said, the 49ers are closer to the one seed than they are to being out of the playoffs. That is just crazy. With all the injuries, all the obstacles, going 8 straight weeks, win-loss, 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 to get to 9-4 with this roster, Kyle Shanahan's not going to win Coach of the Year because the Writers Association is just a bunch of idiots. No offense. I think they're good at what they do, but they're not good at voting for Coach of the Year. How many – Coach Stefanski has, what, 2 Coach of the Year things? Like, how the hell is that even possible? Like, nope, 1 playoff win? All right, cool. Good job, man. But, like, this is incredible. So I don't want to get out of the playoff talk scenario. I have some more questions for you. Where do you rank, this is just a little sidebar, where do you rank this year for Kyle Shanahan as far as best coaching performances for the 49ers since he's been here in 2017?
I think because of all the obstacles and the injuries and everything they've overcome, I think this is probably his best coaching job. And I know they went to the Super Bowl twice, but you know, those two teams had a lot of talent and they didn't withstand the injuries like this team did. If this team didn't have the injuries, who knows, right? If Fred Warner and Nick Bosa were still playing, you know, this could be an 11-win team right now. That's how big of a difference it's made. But Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh, and we got to throw Brent Boyer in there. These guys have done such a great job with how they've got these guys up to speed every single week. It's been like a revolving door at certain positions, and yet they've found consistency in play. And even when you struggled 1 week to the next, they recovered. They figured out how to, you know, I call it mask weaknesses and highlight strengths. And that's what they've been finding, what they could do with their players, putting them in the best position to be successful. And it starts with Shanahan and that mindset. There is a real thing called next man up mentality, and a lot of people poo-poo it. But when you actually believe it and then you have the people prepared behind, it started with scouting, it started with drafting, it started with signing, getting the guys who were capable. But the draft and development thing's real, and I think the 49ers have developed those back-end guys to step in and make plays. So it's been a really great job. The fact that this team is a 9-win team, I think, goes a long way, especially when you look at what happened in 2020, a team that got marred by injuries that couldn't win football games. And so this is a big difference. Kyle Shanahan has done a really good job.
Yeah, it's up there, man. Incredible job. I like this from Luis. He says, fear no one, play the best to be the best. I ain't scared of nobody. But if I get a chance to fight my arch nemesis, I'm taking a right turn to do that every single time. That's why I want to play the Cowboys. One, I think we match up very favorably against them. But two, I hate the freaking guts. And so, like, I want to disembowel their fan base and make them just sad and cry and get more Dallas Cowboys fun pictures of their fans crying. That's what I want. So, like, this isn't so much of a fear or whatever else. It's just, hey, what is the best for the 49ers moving forward, all those things, and just trying to flesh out some of these issues that are there. Shout out to Biddy. He says, Green Bay and Chicago play two times in the next 3 weeks. Hopefully they split it. That is exactly right. That is what you want to see. Would love to see the Packers not make the playoffs after spending all that money on Parsons. I think that would be great. And there's going to be a good team out. There's going to be a good team out that does not make it. I do not think that's going to be the 49ers because of those tiebreakers. Now, going back to these different playoff matchups, and just this week in the bye week alone, guaranteed the sixth seed when this week is over, but you could be as high as the number two seed because if both the Rams and the Seattle Seahawks lose, that would vault the 49ers up into first place of the NFC West this week without even playing a game and would be the number two seed. So you're guaranteed the six, can get as high as the second this week without even playing the game. The NFC West is in play. The number one seed is in play. Literally 1 through 7 seed all in play. So my question to you, Ant, let's do a record prediction and then try to walk that back to where you think the 49ers would finish in the NFC and the seeding and playoffs 5 weeks from now. So first off, 49ers, again, we talked about they're favored in all four of their games. How do you think the schedule plays out with the win-loss ratio over the last four?
Well, I think they beat Tennessee. I think that one, I wouldn't want to call it a foregone conclusion, but they're not going to walk in that game and take Tennessee lightly, especially with what just happened to the Rams with Carolina. Everyone knows how important those games are. 49ers have had games this year. John Lynch even said they felt like they should have won. So that's not going to happen. I think they beat the Colts. I think that the Colts, if this was a few weeks ago, they were kind of rolling. I think that they're starting to show, you know, some cracks. I think they're starting to struggle a little bit. And I think that as long as they can not slow down Jonathan Taylor, but just kind of hem him up just a little bit, I think that they'll be okay against the Colts. So I think they'll win those two. I think that it comes down to the question marks for the final two, where I think they can beat Chicago, but I don't know what's going to happen with Seattle because I don't know if that game's important or not, right? If the Seattle Seahawks are lose to the Rams, you know, come into a situation where they're not playing for the division, they're just playing for seeding, do they just call it a day, right? Just we're going to rest for the playoffs. Chill. Yeah, so I think that one could be up in the air. I'm going to say they go 3-1 just because I think there's always a chance you slip up. I honestly believe that they can run the table. I do. But I'm just going to say, just for safety purposes, that they go 3-1 over the next four and you know, and finish with a pretty solid record there. Not quite the 13 wins they could get to, but 12 wins.
Dude, I've got that. Dude, we agree. I have the 49ers going 3-1 as well. And so I have a 12-5 record. And so if they go 12-5, where's your, and again, there's a lot of variables and a lot of moving parts and whatever else. Like, do they win the division with the 12-5 record?
That hinges on the Detroit Rams game and the Seahawks Rams game. Those games are going to be entirely pivotal. I think that's the difference between the 49ers being division winner and a top four seed and the number five seed in our equation that we're talking about. I think if they get to 12 wins, they'll at least be the number five seed in the playoffs in the NFC. But if the Rams slip up a little bit, that's when you need help. If they slip up, then I think they go all the way to the division lead. And then number one seed is still in play because Packers still play the Bears. There's a lot of Bears games. If one of those wins for the 49ers is against the Bears, then all of a sudden they're the number one seed. So I think there's a lot of moving parts, but I think they're no worse than five if they go 3-1 and win 12 games this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then they would be hosted by the lowest record division winner, right? And so that's where they would be in that kind of 4-5 matchup, which I love that 4-5 matchup. I like that is the spot to be in It'd probably be, you know, whoever makes their way out of it, probably be Tampa Bay, to be honest with you. Could be somebody from the NFC East, could be Philly, could be Dallas and all those things. But I agree with you. I'm right there, and I got to give shout out to Ben. He's got a Blues Brothers reference, so I have to read it. I am obligated. He says, we return from home from the Colts. We will run the table at home all the way through February 8th. We are on a mission from God. I freaking love it. Blues Brothers. There it is. And shoot, I also have to, we've got another elite movie reference in here. Shout out to my man Shane, one of my closest friends. He says, this could be his masterpiece, like John Creasy and Man on Fire. Dude, Ridley Scott. Oh, dude, you telling me man could be great at anything. But yes, that is Kyle Shanahan. I freaking love it. So one seed to kind of six seed. Like, I don't think seven seed is really a viable option for the way this season's going to go. I think anywhere from 1 to 6, I've got the 49ers going 3-1 down the hall, 12-5. You have them going 12-5. I do not think that that is enough to win the division. I think the Rams lose one. I think the Seahawks lose one, but you would need them both to lose two. I think one of them could just lose one game, probably going to be the Rams. But every time the Rams lose, we are so excited. It is wonderful for everybody. Now, if you are going to any football games this season, home, away, wherever, if you get your tickets, got to go through TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Man, big news just came out minutes ago. Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter, the heart and soul of that defense, going to be out multiple weeks. Not going on IR, but going to be out multiple weeks. Again, just one more thing that Dallas, you know, it looks like. And I got to say, shout out to Sonia. She's one of the best in the business. Appreciate you. She says, I don't know how the playoff equations work. Dallas having a tied game doesn't hurt them. Playoffs never go by wins losses. Everything is about winning percentage. So that loss helps and hurts. It's a half game. So, for example, the Dallas, it's better to look at Green Bay, right? Packers, who they tied with, right? The Cowboys and Packers tied. So the Packers are 8-3-1. They're one spot ahead of the 49ers because they have a 7.08 win percentage. We have a 6.92. So it's not as good as a win, not as bad as a loss. It's right there in the middle. So it messes with the winning percentage, but it kind of shakes out as the end as just a tiebreaker. So the 49ers, if they were in a tie or close wins-wise, the Packers and Cowboys would be ahead of them because they have fewer losses. That win percentage is more. So, yeah, it always messes up the equation. And, dude, I want to go to, like, penalty kicks or something. Like, I don't like ties. It's like kissing your sister, which is not a good thing, even though I'm from the South. You don't do that. You don't do that. So I don't want ties, but they always have to fight with the TV networks to kind of guarantee the end game point, whatever else. What are your thoughts about the Cowboys and Packers having that tie on their record and how that would shake out in the playoff stacking seeding?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to matter in the long run. You know, I mean, a lot of times you look at the tie as more of a negative than a positive. You want a win in those situations. So you don't want to really, you know, play for a tie. But, for percentage reasons, it has helped the Packers stay ahead of the 49ers. But it's not going to make a difference just after this week. Right. They're going to play the Chicago Bears, and one of those teams is going to be behind the 49ers, and one of them's going to be the number one seed. And that tie's pretty much irrelevant. I don't think it ends up playing into the overall playoff scenarios. But, you know, it's always an interesting dynamic when you have that tie in there, because like you brought up, you could have the same amount of wins, but because that team has that tie, percentage wise, they're going to stay just ahead of you.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, man, shout out to my man Thomas. I had this one starred. Sorry about this. He says, I got a job interview for promotion at 11 a.m. Hell yeah, Thomas. Go crush that thing like freaking Fred Warner. You're the man. You got this. He says, little coach approach, settle the nerves. Dude, you got this. You are the freaking man. You've already done the work. You put it. You're good. You just go in there, be yourself, man. Thomas, you got it. Let us know how it goes. You're the freaking man. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, my man Bobo. Look at this coming in with something positive. That's what's up, Bobo. I like it. He says 49er coaches say Eric Kendricks is looking good. He posted yesterday. He got his jersey, number 43. What do we make of Eric Kendricks? This is a weird one. So talk to me, Ant, just about your expectations with this new linebacker. Obviously, the 49ers are injured at the position. What does Eric Kendricks have to do with the Niners depth chart moving forward?
Yeah, this is one that I've been actively trying to work through because Eric Kendricks, right, he was a Mike linebacker. Then the 49ers wanted him to play Will last year. Then he went to Dallas and he played Mike. And he's got those abilities. And I think that they signed him right after Curtis Robinson's first time starting at Mike. And I thought that it really kind of was a signal that, hey, we need to improve the linebacker room a little bit when it comes to depth. We've finally gotten to the point where the depth can start hurting us. And I don't think they are all the way there. They know Luke Gifford is not a guy that can consistently play out there on the field. And I think they're still nervous about Nick Martin and what he's able to read and what he's able to do out there. So I think Kendricks is here to bring stability. But the question is, what position does he play? Do you put him at Mike? Is he going to be able to wear the green dot and put everyone into position, even with Tatum Bethune coming back? Or is he going to be Will? I don't think so. D. Winters just put out his best performance. And it's always interesting with D. Winters. They draft Nick Martin. All of a sudden, D. Winters is like a stud at training camp, and he's a beast. They sign Eric Kendricks, and all of a sudden, D. Winters is a beast. And he's like, oh, you ain't taking my position. He gets motivated. I don't know what happens with Eric Kendricks, but it's interesting because when Bethune comes back, who wears the green dot? Do you put Eric Kendricks at Mike? He's a veteran. He's seen it all. He understands everything. He's good against the run. He's good against the pass. He's more of a three-down linebacker. Or do you go to back to Bethune and put Kendricks at Sam? I don't know, John. I want to know what you think. I know you work with linebackers, too, during your coaching time. Where would you go with this?
So Kendricks is interesting for several accounts, right? Because last year the Niners offered him a deal to come in and be the number two until Dre Greenlaw came back. And then he left for Dallas because they made him a captain. They gave him the green dot. He called the entire team, had one of his best seasons. He was the number one linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys last year. So I know there's a little bit of bad blood there, but I go back to this. Eric Kendrick is a captain for not one, not two, but three separate teams in his career. Like, this dude has the pelts on the wall. I would prefer Tatum to continue to get the nod, but I would put Eric Kendricks above Curtis Robinson. I would put Eric Kendricks above Nick Martin. I would put Eric Kendricks above Luke Gifford. I want veteran play down the stretch. And it's not so much, you know, injuries suck. Nick Martin had a chance to log some snaps this last week. Got a concussion on the first play of the game, special teams. Damn good play. But now I feel like the focus is shifting into, all right, it's playoff mode. It's veteran experience mode. It's all those things. If Tatum comes back, I want Tatum. But outside of, I want Tatum, I want D. Winters, and then I want Kendricks. Those are my three that I would like to move forward with. So, you know, if Tatum is not back at 100%, then I want Kendricks out there taking the Mike snaps. That's what I want. And so again, Mike Sam, I think he could do both. He hasn't played in this defense before, but let's be honest, this dude's played, you know, 10 plus years. I think he's at pretty close to $60 million, you know, made in his career, second round pick out of UCLA like a decade ago. So I want Kendricks out there, but not at the expense of Tatum Bethune, who I just think he continues just looking really, really quality and just always getting the damn job done. Right here, Logan says, you know, do you think they'll start Kendricks even if Tatum returns? I would not. But if Tatum ain't 100% and logged several practices, then I want Kendricks out there. So here's the question. Who do you have starting this next game against the Titans. Like, let's predict it a little bit. We don't know how the practice reports are going to go with Tatum Bethune. They're expecting him back. I trust the Niners on a lot of things. Never injury updates. Who do you think, if, you know, does Tatum start? Does Kendrick start?
Yeah, you know, I don't know where Tatum Bethune is in his recovery. If I knew for sure he was 100%, I would probably say they start Tatum Bethune. He's the one that had the green dot. He's the one that's the most comfortable with this defense. If I knew Kendricks was up to speed, they could probably wait on Bethune a little bit. But I think Bethune's going to be motivated now, too. You don't want anyone playing your spot, even for 1 week, because if they outplay you, things start getting a little bit dicey. So I wonder what they do with Kendricks. I was thinking this as you were talking. Like I said, I've been working this thing through. I think it's Tatum, Bethune, and D. Winters that play those positions. You get Kendricks to play Sam. He probably plays those, 15 to 20 snaps, especially kind of helps him work in. And then I wonder if they start using him on some sub packages here and there, third and long, maybe putting him out there, pulling Tatum Bethune off, where you get your two best cover linebackers out there, Kendricks and D. Winters, and let them kind of roam. And I think that is something he could be successful at. So another change up, 49ers have designated pass rushers. Why not designated linebackers that come in on obvious pass downs to kind of help you out a little bit? They could go that direction as well.
Yeah, and shout out to Shane. We talked about this last night. We had a Zoom hangout for our the49ersrush.com and our Patreon. And, man, look, Tatum Bethune, this is Shane's comment. Thank you, brother. He says, Tatum Bethune was getting 15 tackles a game. You know, he's a killer in the run game. Curtis Robinson comes in. Shout out to him. Walter Payton, man of the year, two times in a row. Everybody loves Curtis Robinson. He's just a special team stud that could fill in. But, yeah, Curtis Robinson averaged like 5 tackles a game. But here's the thing with Curtis Robinson. There haven't been coverage busts or communication busts since he's been there. So you go back to Tatum, you get the better run support, the tackling machine, all that stuff, coverage reliability. How do you mix and match both? That's going to be difficult. And, you know, we've got right here, David. He says, hoping Kendricks can provide a little boost along with Bethune. Eter Gross Motto, Sam-O. Man, I got to get Sam-O back, dude. Freaking love that dude. I think he's still going to miss one more game, but that's kind of where it is. And Ben right here, just because of the stakes, I want Kendricks even over Tatum. Kendricks has 10,000 snaps of experience, no knock on Tatum. We could use the vet. You play in teams like Matt Stafford. You're playing teams like the Rams. That is going to come into play big time. And I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, if I'm Eric Kendricks, had a great year last year, didn't do training camp, didn't play, why come out now? Why come play now? So, like, I'm wondering what those conversations were like. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Niners are the type of team that says, hey, you come back, you get everything. But, hey, you can come back and compete. But, man, that veteran experience at the mic position, the most valuable veteran experience, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. So is John, Ben crazy right, for this take?
John, they had to have told him he was going to have an opportunity to play. Because remember, he turned down Baltimore's practice squad not that long ago, 5-6 weeks ago. He turned them down, but he came to the 49ers. They had to have said, you're going to get playing time. There's no way he comes back now, signs up for the practice squad if he's not going to play. And if it is a communication thing with Tatum Bethune, and Curtis Robinson's been so much better with communication. Well, Eric Kendricks might be the best of both worlds. He's a better communicator, and he's a better player than Curtis Robinson. You might get a better communicator than Bethune, a better player than Curtis Robinson. Now you get an upgrade at Mike linebacker. I wouldn't put it out of the question. It will be weird seeing a number 43 playing linebacker, though. That's going to be interesting. I've never really seen that. The 48 of Bethune, like Fred Warner, that was always weird for me anyways. But now a 43, that'll be kind of fun. He's got the long hair too, so that'll be cool.
We'll make it work. Leon says, can Kendricks play Gifford's spot? Yes. I don't want Gifford played on defense, special teams only. Everybody agrees with you there. look at this. Vets rule, rookies drool. I like that. Phil, appreciate super chat, brother. He says, can't believe I missed the Zoom hangout. Hey, don't fret. We're doing two this month. So we're going to do another Zoom hangout right after the Chicago Bears on that Tuesday, heading into that last week, Seattle. So if you missed this week's Zoom hangout, we're doing one in 3 weeks. So we'll be doing it, right after that Bears game, we'll be having another one. That's where that's going. So real quick, talk to us real quick about what you've got going on your Patreon and your channel and what we can check out with you, especially during this bye week.
Yeah, I have a standalone show that's already up that I did. That's up. That's the Ant Hill show. That's available. And then I started going live last Sunday. I went live and we just had a good time. I'm going to go live again this Sunday. I'm going to just, you know, start talking about playoffs. Everyone can chime in, come in there. So yeah, if you want some more extra live shows, head on over to Patreon. I'm doing that. Of course, you can still get all the film breakdowns and all that as well. But I'm doing some fun stuff with that, and we've been having a good time with it.
So patreon.com/49ers cutback. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. Thanks, John, because I forgot to say that.
Oh, that's okay, man. Freaking got to support Ant. So let's do this. You know what? I'm ready for a giveaway. It's the Christmas spirit. So after this, I'm going to be giving away a free membership. 2 49ers cutback. Uh-oh, almost knocked over my mic there. So stay tuned. Get your 49ers trivia ready. I got to come up with a question during this ad read. Here we go. December doesn't have to be the most expensive month of the year if you're betting with MyBookie. They have their 12 days of Christmas is coming soon with daily offers dropping back to back to back to back 12 days in a row. All across sports and the casino. And I'm talking bets and gets, profit boosts, free spins, even surprise drops for social and Telegram users. And with December being so packed, you got the NFL, you got college NFL, your college bowl season, college hoops. It's all serving up for opportunities to cash. And if you go to mybookie.ag now, punch in the code 49ers, 49ERS, you get your first bet covered up to $500. Make sure you click that opt-in button. If you go big and miss on the first bet, use your bet back bonus token and run it back. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've used this in California. I've used it in Texas. Doesn't matter where you're at. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. And again, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Oh, look at this. Cam's dad. I love this. Kendrick wants two things. Number one, a ring. He doesn't have one. And number two, amends to Kyle. You piss off Kyle Shanahan, dude, that Shanahan loyalty program out the window. But if you can make amends to Kyle, you got a coaching career for the rest of your life. Your kids got coaching jobs. Everybody gets coaching jobs. That is the Shanahan loyalty program. That is what's up. So here we go. We're talking about weird number 43 for Eric Kendrick. So here's the question. The first one that gets it right in this chat, I'm going to pay for your Patreon membership, any level you call it, over on Ant's 49ers cutback for the rest of the season. So first one that shows up in my feed, remember, just because your question is first on your feed, we're on multiple platforms. It's first one on my feed. So we had to learn that the hard way and piss a bunch of people off. So here's the question. In the 1994 season when the 49ers won the Super Bowl, who wore jersey number 43 for the 1994 season? A little hint, it was on the offensive side. First one to get that correct in the chat, I will be giving one, so I'm going to give you guys some time to go through this. Who wore jersey number 43 for the 1994? Waymer did wear that jersey, but not for that season. Was not Daryl Hall. We'll get there. Somebody's going to get the answer. My question for you, Ant, as these questions start coming in or the answers start coming in, we have a winner. So anyway, we're going to stop right there. The correct answer, Sir Kaiser in the house, baby. Mark Logan, the running back out of Kentucky, fifth round pick. He was only with the Niners for a very, very short time. But he came in 1992. He's with us from 92 to 94. And yeah, he wore jersey number 43. And that's where it is. So, Sir Kaiser, I need you to email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Send me, and yeah, we'll discuss all the details there. But for everybody else, go support Ant, sign up, check it out. This week's a good week. And if you don't like it, you can cancel after that. But man, support, 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 support. So, there we go. All right. Let's get to this question, which I'm pretty excited about. From liability to asset, I feel like the 49ers have had three or four players this season that were just so bad and just costing the Niners repeatedly, but have turned into extremely positive players. Jair Brown, D. Winters, who you just talked about. I'm going to throw Juwan Jennings in this conversation as well. Like, man, Juwan Jennings had a couple bad months where he was a negative almost every single game. It hasn't been that way the past few weeks. So, you've had these guys go from liability to assets. So, Ant, here's my question for you. If you could pick any player that is getting snaps for the 49ers currently that's kind of been underperforming or a liability, whether offense, defense, special teams, whatever, that you could give that cutback boost to and kind of go on that same thing as Jair Brown or D Winters or Juwan Jennings? Who is the player that you're like, you know what? This guy accelerates his play like those other ones did. Great things are going to happen.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question because I think you look at the tiers of some of the players and what they do, and there's a couple of guys that stand out. I think if you look at the defensive line, if you could get a little bit more pass rush from guys like Alfred Collins or CJ West, that would help. But you got Ettore Gross Matos coming back, Sam Okwuanu, that's probably going to figure itself out. They weren't really meant for the pass rush anyways. I would say D Winters, but he's kind of started working into there. I'm going to go to the secondary. I'm going to say Renardo Green.
Oh!
And the reason I want to say Renardo Green is if this guy becomes kind of the player that we know he can be, the 49ers are going to have two corners that are really tough to deal with. And what that will do is simplify the defense a lot. That will make it a lot more complicated for offenses. They'll have to go back after Upton Stout. They'll have to try to figure out how to do some things. And with the improvement on the back end from your safeties already, that would give you a really nice secondary to be able to play with. When that happens, then you could take more chances, bring more guys in the box, be more aggressive stopping the run, especially if Renardo Green's going to play a little bit better. And it's not about playing better per se. It's about playing more consistent. I just don't think he's been consistent. It's been kind of hit and miss. There's games he's really good, then he kind of struggles, bad coverage here and there. So we get more consistency from him. I think that defense gets better and better. And for this, for Leon Sandcastle, who asked about which tight end first appeared in WrestleMania, I know my wrestling. I know it was Russ Francis, WrestleMania 2, the Battle Royal. He made it all the way to the final four. So Andre the Giant won that Battle Royal. He threw out Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart at the end. So I know my wrestling trivia, but that was a good one from Leon Sandcastle.
Good Lord. That was impressive, my good friend. Wow. I've got a bunch of friends that are real big into wrestling. I did get to see, I saw Andre the Giant and the Bumblebee. You guys were the Bumblebee twins or whatever they were.
You're talking about, about the Killer Bees.
Killer Bees. There, I was a little kid. I don't really remember much. My dad took me, but that's about all my memories I got. Anyway, that is freaking incredible. Incredible. Leon, you are the freaking man. I love it. I love it. And it's funny because, again, I hate this. My least favorite thing about this show is Ant and I agree too damn much. I wrote down Renardo Green as well. And that was the guy that I wanted to take that step up, which, you know, he's been benched. You know, he got benched for giving up that, you know, double move against the Panthers. He got sat down again whenever he had that, you know, play for the personal foul. It was on a third. It would have been fourth down, gave him a free first down. It's just the consistency, the awareness, the football IQ, and just understanding where you're at. I think that he's got the traits. You put together Renardo Green's like best plays this season, and it's like, hell yeah, man. Like, this guy's got it. The low lights, though, in the secondary, you can't really get those because those are touchdowns. Those are huge plays. It's a little bit different offensive lineman versus a corner. You're on an island. And again, you know, I had people – Luke Gifford took a lot of heat this week, rightfully so. He has not been good on defense. That touchdown was not on Luke Gifford, the one touchdown that the Browns had. And Kyle Shanahan even said the same thing. Guy missed his coverage responsibility. That was Renardo Green, who went to the middle of the field. You were in cover three. You once he passes that hash, you got to replace back outside. The touchdown, and even PFF attributed it to Renardo Green, which I was impressed by them. Like, ooh. They don't usually get that right. But yes, Renardo Green's got so many positives. Just the consistency. And, you know, Logan says, I need Ricky Pearsall to get the ball more. It's coming. It's going to happen. He's running good routes out there. It's just, there are a few. If you told me Ricky Pearsall had three touchdowns over the past 3 weeks, I wouldn't be shocked. You had two touchdowns eliminated by Ben Bartsch, and you had another touchdown eliminated by Ricky Pearsall or by Brock Purdy having a bad pass. That was that three interception game. Like Ricky's winning the moment. It's just you have to line up with the quarterback and the offensive line. Things have to be in sync. So, you know, Ricky Pearsall, that time's coming. I think this bye week is really, really good for him. But the vibes seem high. And so I'm telling you, number one, I'm not saying start him in fantasy or bet the over or any of that stuff. I think the consistency will return, and I think he will start to produce really, really soon. What are your thoughts on Pearsall and kind of what's going forward this last month of the season?
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought he was going to come out more guns blazing. You know, like he was going to be ready to roll, and the offense was going to kind of pick up around him. And we haven't seen that. I think we've seen opportunities, but it's not for lack of route running or him doing his job. He's doing his job. He's competing. He's playing a lot of snaps, which I think is good, kind of allowing him to get some work. But he's definitely not the player he was at the beginning of the year, because he was coming out of training camp and he had built all that time to get ready, and he was really ready for that moment. So, yeah, I think that this is coming, I think you're right, at the right time. And the good thing is you still have four games before the playoffs. So this gives Ricky Pearsall a real good chance to kind of get back, get in order. And remember, it was last year he missed a lot of time. And then he said, hey, I wish the season wouldn't end. I'm kind of building into, you know, how things could go and how I feel I'll be as a pro. I think the same thing will happen now. And that's what you're hoping. He's going to hit his stride. By the time you get to the Colts and the Bears and the Seahawks, maybe he'll be ready to roll. But I like his route running. The route he ran to get a first down on third in the game was really, really good. He set up the corner. He worked it in, worked it back out. It was phenomenal. So Ricky's still doing work out there.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a matter of time. And he's blocking well. He's got the energy. He's having fun out there. He's having fun in the locker room. Like, things are kind of escalating to some positive. And what's crazy is, like, for the first time this year, now Kendrick Bourne's his backup. Kendrick Bourne's getting like 4 to 6 snaps a game, but we've seen what Kendrick Bourne can do in that role as well. Not with Brock so much, but like, dude, you have depth at the wide receiver position now. That hasn't been comfortable kind of all year. And I know that there was a question earlier. I didn't start it, and I'm sorry, I can't find it. So I really do apologize. Somebody asked about Jacob Cowing. You don't activate Jacob Cowing, who might be finally healthy from a second hamstring injury, until you need that. Like, Jordan Watkins still a healthy scratch. Like, so you are just not stacked at the wide receiver position, but you've got Kendrick Bourne, you've got Jordan Watkins who could play the X, and you've got Jacob Cowing just sitting there. You got three wide receivers on ice currently because you just can't use them. But now you have that depth. And that's why I like the Eric Kendricks thing. Back to that, it's like, ooh, we're getting depth at a position of need. Like, man, you had your four-string Mike linebacker out there last week against Cleveland. Jalen Graham's out there. I was like, dude, is that Jalen Graham? I forgot he was with the team. But now you're getting depth at all these positions. Corner, we just talked to Renato Green. Darrell Luter Jr., every single time he's played corner this year, has looked great. Like, now your safeties are playing. Okay, now you're getting back Sam O. Now you're getting back Robert Beal. Sam O's probably going to take another week. But it's just like, now you're stacking these guys where it's like, man, you've got a little bit of depth across the board. Quarterback position, got depth. Tight end position, got depth. Now, Kyle Juszczyk, that one's a question with the fractured ribs. My question to you, how soon do you think he'll come back? And two, if he doesn't come back, does Jake Tonjes still get those snaps? We saw him get some late fourth quarter work at fullback. Or do you go 11 or, you know, 21, probably not 21 personnel, but more 12 personnel instead? Like, how do you see the Kyle Juszczyk factor with that injury moving forward? I think Kyle Juszczyk's played back-to-back his best games of the season before that injury.
Yeah, I mean, Juszczyk, the motions and some of the blocking angles that they're asking him to be successful in have been really fun. And you know, Kyle's done a lot of cool stuff out of that kind of ace formation where they line him and Kittle off the ball. And they've been moving those guys around and getting some unique looks, and they've been doing some traps and things that have been really fun. When it comes to Kyle Juszczyk, I think it's going to come down to two questions. Number one, can the injury get worse? If it can, then do not play him against the Tennessee Titans. Give him extra time to be able to recover. If it can't, then it comes down to pain management. Can he wear, you know, a rib protector and be okay? He normally wears one anyway. So I think that is the question mark for him. But I do think if he doesn't play, and if I was them, I would kind of err on the side of caution. I think they do have to find a mixture of 12 and 11 personnel. I think that depending on what Tennessee tries to do against them is how it plays. And I do think it has an effect on the offense. They have been so successful in 21 personnel this year. You just look at the very first play of the Cleveland Browns game. The Cleveland Browns completely did not look at Kyle Juszczyk, and he ran a corner route for a big play down the field. And it's like those types of things are what Kyle Juszczyk adds. Later on, there's a penalty where he gets held because of his effectiveness. They're not used to seeing fullbacks or blocking guys that can do the things that he does in the passing game. So he creates an advantage for you in 21 personnel. I do think it hurts them a little bit when they go 12. And I like Jake Tonjes, but the defense is going to declare differently. They're going to put different personnel out there. It allows them to go big nickel, and they don't have an advantage when it comes to blocking in big nickel because I don't really trust Jake Tonjes' blocking. I do trust him catching the ball, but now you've got a safety. I think a safety can hang with Jake Tonjes a little bit. So that kind of changes a little bit. Can you spread them out then and go 11 personnel? I think that might be the best way, but my guess is you'll probably get a mixture without Kyle Juszczyk. Some 12, some 11 as Kyle tries to figure out what the defense does declaring personnel, and that will really determine which one he wants to run more of.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. I saw a comment in there that the Fort Ayers only had 5 players in the Hall of Fame. That's incorrect. Cubs is correct. I pulled up the list because I was like, that ain't right. And it was cool because we were in Cleveland this past week, and a lot of people that I talked to, Niners fans that were in the area, they went to Canton to see, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is awesome. If you've never been there, pretty cool. Canton's not cool, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame is cool. I've been there several times. Love it, love it, love it. But apparently, anytime the opposing team against the Browns, they move all of the busts out. And so there were all 29 of anybody that's ever played for the 49ers or coached for the 49ers were all together. And you can kind of take a picture. And so people were showing me the picture. It was cool as hell. But yeah, there are 29. And I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to say all 29 names. I apologize. These are the 29 players who have played for the 49ers that are in the Hall of Fame: Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Steve Young, Terrell Owens, Patrick Willis, B.Y. Bryant Young. He's the newest addition. Love that dude. Hugh McElhinney. Actually, Bryant Young's not the newest anymore. Now it's Patrick Willis, right? Patrick Willis got in later, so never mind. Yep. I was wrong. Hugh McElhinney, O.J. Simpson, Y.A. Tittle, Larry Allen, Isaac Bruce, Fred Dean, Chris Dolman, Charles Haley, Bob Hayes, Ricky Jackson, Jimmy Johnson, John Henry Johnson, Randy Moss, Leo Nomalini, the Lion, Joe Perry, Deion Sanders, Bob St. Clair, Dave Wilcox, and Rod Woodson with Patrick Willis. That's who I just said. I did say his name, so we're good there. So we need one more. Ronnie Lott is now a senior finalist. There's only 3 of them. Now, it's not guaranteed that one of those get in. All 3 can get in. You have to get over 80% of the Pro Football Writers, whatever contingency that stupid thing is with. They bother me. Have to get about 80% of that vote to get in, but he is in the last hurdle. What are your thoughts on Roger Craig? Can we get to 60? Can the 49ers get to 60 players in the Hall of Fame this year? Plus, man, and on top of that, you got Frank Gore, too. So, like, I think we do get to 60, but can we get to 61? Can we get to?
I think Roger Craig has a really good shot this time. You know, I've been seeing some of the momentum online, some of the YouTube stuff about Roger Craig. I feel like the NFL is pushing it a little bit, too. Roger Craig, especially with all the conversation around dual threat running backs, he was the first one that did the things that he could do. And he kind of changed the game. And it took a long time for Marshall Faulk to come along or for a Christian McCaffrey. Roger Craig was doing this as a fullback. Let's remember that. He was a fullback when he went his 1,000-1,000. That was phenomenal at that time. So he's a guy that changed positions because Bill Walsh was like, hey, you've been a fullback. Now we want you to go run the ball. Tom Rathman's going to block for you. I think Roger Craig deserves it. I think that he revolutionized the game in the West Coast offense. I don't think the West Coast offense is as good without Roger Craig. And I think that there are more players from that 80s 49ers teams that should be in the Hall of Fame. But Roger Craig especially deserves to be in there. You don't think about the 49ers in the 80s without Roger Craig. And he has the production to back it up. He deserves to go in. It sucks he had to wait to be a finalist now, right, in the seniors. But he deserves to be in. Go ahead and put Roger Craig in there because he is a heartbeat of the 49ers from that time period. There were moments where he carried them. He's a part of some of the biggest moments in NFL history.
Yeah, 1,000 season for Roger Craig, 4 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro, 3 Super Bowl championships, part of the 1980s All-Decade team. Like, come on, man. 1988 AP Offensive Player of the Year. I get that he had to wait a while, and the fumble still lives in a lot of our memories, but get that dude in there. Get that dude in there. Get that dude in there. Speaking of getting that dude in there, Thomas says, all right, y'all, got to go for that job interview. Go get it, big dog. Go get it, big dog. I love it. So that's going to wrap up our show. We got some nostalgia. We got some playoffs. We got some ascending players. We got, I had fun today, Ant. And man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to freaking go. Let's see. We ain't got a game this week and I'm all pumped up. But man, Ant, you are the freaking man. Just want to say thank you for your time. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame. This dude, appreciate what you do for us. And we'll be back next week. We'll see how it goes. You guys are the best of the best. Want to say thank you to everybody. And as always, stay strong, faithful. Peace.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.